Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Hello, and welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hemmerker, and I'm so glad you joined me. This episode, you're going to hear about this month's new releases in Christian romantic suspense. I hope you will enjoy hearing from your favorite romantic suspense authors as they talk about the background of their latest books.
And now I'm going to be talking with Joanna Davison-Politano about her latest historical Christian romantic suspense, The Elusive Truth of Lily Temple. So welcome to my show, Joanna.
Thank you. I'm really honored to be here.
So let's dive in with your heroine. What did your heroine want to be when she grew up, and did she actually become that person?
I think she would have wanted to have been a fairy tale character because she was so enmeshed in fairy tales. And she sort of became that because she became a silent movie actress.
Yeah, that definitely would lend itself to kind of fairy tale stuff. So I think we can give her that. I think we can say she did become what she wanted to become. Let's switch to your hero. What's holding him back from finding love in this story?
Well, he is a second son, which means in the Victorian culture they did not get to inherit anything. So he was wealthy, but his brother would have inherited the entire estate and all the holdings. So he has nothing to offer a bride. And so there's that. And then there's also, he is a listener, not a talker. And he's fine with that. But he has trouble just, you know, going out and meeting women and, you know, trying to court and things like that.
Well, it would be hard. Yes. I think that would be hard. But because we write romantic suspense, whether contemporary or historical, we have villains. So let's talk about any redeeming qualities about your villain.
Well, I can't give away who the villain is, but I will say that he's very driven. Everything that he does, he's driven to do things for his family. That is first and foremost. So it's not even about greed necessarily or money or anything like that. It's a lot of it is family.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, we can just look around and see what the lengths people will go to protect family, to help family. So that's always it can be a really great thing, but it can also not be so good. So, if you have your book set in a real place, which it sounds like maybe you do, what is the one thing you changed about the setting to fit your story?
Well, it's all based on a garden that was used for film production. I did give it a bit of a magic flair. So there's no actual magic that happens, but kind of like, you know, there's glow worms at night and you kind of see them glowing green in the field below. And there's like a fairy tale feel and things like that. And there's a couple things that happen in the garden that are sort of Alice in Wonderland, like a little rabbit jumping through with a jacket on. And things like that. But there's a reason for all of it. It's none of it's actually magic, but it's definitely got that fairy tale-esque sense.
To go with your heroine's job that she wanted to be, right?
Right, and actually, she's in all fairy tales.
Yeah, great. So what did you find was the easiest part of writing this particular story?
I think the easiest part was the dynamic between the hero and heroine. They were so much fun, and they kind of took on a life of their own, and just the chemistry between them, it was so natural, and the things just popped out of their mouths. So that was very, very easy, and also describing the garden came pretty naturally because it was so beautiful, and it was so much fun to imagine what it looked like and try to put that on paper.
I love that. I love it when things are easy. Easy when it comes to writing. Those are always... Those are the ones that I really am like, oh, yeah, it's easy. Great. Because we have enough hard stuff readers, enough hard stuff. So we'll celebrate the easy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Joanna, we're at the end of our time together. Let's close with, what's your book's tagline?
Well, the book is about the truth in fiction. So the tagline is, in the search for the truth, the line between fact and fiction is beginning to fall out of focus.
Ah, I love that. Well, thank you for sharing about the elusive truth of Lily Temple.
Oh, thank you so much for having me here.
Next up is Susan May Warren to talk about her latest romantic suspense, One Last Shot. So welcome to my show, Susan.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
So we're going to talk about your heroine first, and let's talk about love. How does she feel about love at the start of this particular book?
Oh, well, my heroine's name is Boo, and the last thing she wants is to fall in love. In fact, she's pretty much sworn off love. She had a very, very bad experience not long ago with love. She thought she was in love, maybe, maybe not. But the fact is that the last thing she wants is to fall in love. And the setup of the story really is that she has to train this country music singer as part of a reality show, and he's all cute and swoony and all the rest, and she doesn't want to have anything to do with him. So it's a really fun setup.
Yeah, I love it how we throw them into situations like that. That's part of the fun, yeah, of being an author. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about your hero. You didn't mention his name, but I'd love to know, why did you pick this particular name for this hero?
So his name is Oaken Fox, and I love the name Oaken. I actually got it from my niece. She had a baby named Oaken, and she visited us last year, about a year and a half ago when I was writing this book, and I was like, that's the name. I have to use it. So I love the name Oaken. Fox is actually the last name of a spin-off series from one of my other previous books, and so I was like, I'm just going to co-opt that name and maybe make him a distant cousin or something. But I felt like Oaken Fox was also a great name for a country music singer, which is what he is. And it just felt like a fun kind of celebrity kind of name.
Yes, yeah, now that is a rockin' name for a country music star.
Yeah,
so someone may go, maybe we should use Oaken, change our name, go and
right.
do that. So let's talk about the setting. Why this setting for this particular story? What made you pick this setting?
Well, the setting is so fun. It's set in Alaska, and the place that it's set is actually in Anchorage, but there's this little town that I created called Copper Mountain, which is about an hour and a half or 2 hours north of Anchorage, and it's actually Talkeetna, if you know anything about Alaska, which is right on the southern border of Denali State Park. And so I had set a previous series there in kind of that town, but also outskirts of that town, and it was called Sky King Ranch. And I used to call it the Alaska Boys. And while I was writing that series, some things happened in Copper Mountain, and I met this guy named Moose Mulligan, my fictional guy that I met. And he said, Susie, please write a story about me. So I thought, okay, that's great. And I love writing stories about Alaska. First of all, I have a son that was born in Alaska, and I've always loved Alaska. We've been there many times. And I kind of in my, younger days thought of, dreamed of living in Alaska, but it is a little bit rough and tumble. But I just think it's a great place to set adventure books because you're always running into problems. If it's not a moose in the road or a grizzly bear chasing you or wolves howling at night, you have, glaciers and rapids and, ice and blizzards and all sorts of stuff. So it's a really actually easy place to set an adventure book because you have a lot of problems. And so since my heroes are rescue heroes, because it's a rescue team, I had just tons of great opportunities to put them into trouble. So that's why I picked
No, I love that. And I love that you said that your character told you. Told you to write a story. So listeners, our characters do talk to us. It's okay. We're professionals. So why this particular story? What drew you to write this story besides the character telling you to write about him?
Yeah. That's a great question. Well, for one, I love rescue stories, and Moose did beg his own kind of series. So when I first wrote the Sky King Ranch series, my hero in that series, Dodge, he came back to Alaska, and he was offered a job by Moose Mulligan, who worked for Air One Rescue. And that's all I knew. But I kind of got to know Moose through that other series, and I thought, this is a really interesting character. And I really needed to know what was he all about, and what was this rescue team that he was creating. So I had to put him on hold, though, because I wrote a different series, the Minnesota Marshall series, which was a family series I made last year. And one of the books took place in, actually, Russia and the Kamchatka Peninsula, which is way, way over into the eastern part of Russia. And actually, Alaska and Kamchatka are, like, you know, 800 miles apart or something like that. So I thought, and so I needed to have a rescue team that would rescue my guys from Russia. And I thought, oh, I got Moose. He's sitting over there in Alaska. He can help. So there was, so I got Moose to go rescue these guys, or, you know, had a part in all of that. And I got to know Moose a little bit more. And I was like, I really like this guy. And so when it came time to think of my next series, I thought, well, Moose wanted me to write about him, and I have, and I really like him. And I met a few other people on the team, and I thought, what if we had this cool rescue team? So I love writing about rescue teams. I've done it many times, and I had Montana Rescue many years ago, and I've done some global rescues. And so I just thought, okay, we're going to try a rescue team in Alaska and set him up there and see what happens. So it's been fun. It's a little bit different than rescues in Glacier National Park, so that was kind of fun, because that was my previous rescue and team, and this one is Alaska. So I had to do a lot of research about Alaska, but I had lived in Anchorage, so I knew kind of the lay of the land. And but it was just really a fun series. It just kind of leaped into my lap after encountering, let's say, I was rescued by the rescue team a couple times, and so I had to write about them.
I love it. Well, we are almost out of time, Susan. Can you tell us what, in our little chat here today, with what's one thing you want readers to know about One Last Shot?
Well, One Last Shot is a great book, and it's a book about what happens when you let other people tell you who you are. And it's a great story about uncovering the lies that we believe, from what people have said about us to the truth of actually who we are. And then, of course, the book ignites the other three books. There's something that happens in book one that carries on to the other three books. So it's important that people read book one, because they're going to want to see that thing that ignites the stories that continue. But it's a really fun story, and I really think it's an important story about really staying true to who you are and understanding who you are, not letting the world tell you.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for being on my show and sharing about One Last Shot.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. Have a great day.
I'm delighted to welcome Darlene L. Turner back to my show. She's here to talk about her upcoming April release, Yukon Wilderness Evidence. So welcome back to my show, Darlene.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's start with your heroine, and I love that you picked this one. Why did you pick her name? So talk to us about your heroine's name.
Okay, so her name is Keely Ash. She's a forensic botanist. I can't actually remember where I've heard the name Keely, but when I heard it, I really liked it. So what I do when I hear an interesting name, I add it to my name's database. And because she is a forensic botanist, I thought it was appropriate to use Ash for her last name. So Keely Ash.
Oh, you're so clever. I love that. I like it when we can do kind of fun things about that.
Yes.
Let's switch over to your hero. And our manly men sometimes have fears. So what is your hero's greatest fear in this story?
So Brett, when he was younger, he was locked in his parents' root cellar for a period of time. So that really instilled in him a fear of confinement. But in the end of this book, he has to face that fear, get out of where he's confined, in order to save Keely and their son.
Well, you know, that's why we put them through these things, so that they can become, evolve, and be better people at the end of our books, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So let's talk about your villain. Who or what does the villain in this story love the most? And feel free to use a generic pronoun if you need to cloak the identity.
Yes. I would say family. This is the villain in this story, there is a family of foster brothers. That doesn't mean the villain is a boy. I'm just saying. they're in the story. So when Brett kills one of these siblings while he's protecting Keely, the others target him. So family is a real huge story in the villain's point of view, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, and I love that when we talk about what our villains love the most, you know, what motivates them is often things that we can relate to, like family.
That's true.
Who doesn't love our family? But it's just that sometimes some people take it, they cross that line when they think about that love. So, yeah. Mm. Well, I mean, your book is titled Yukon Wilderness Evidence. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say it is in the Yukon wilderness as the setting. But why did you pick that?
You got it right. Well, actually, my brother and sister-in-law used to live in the Yukon, so I was able to visit there a couple of times and fell in love with it. I mean, it's right beside Alaska. The country is beautiful, and I thought it would be fun to revisit Yukon in this book and bring back some of the characters from my book called Abducted in Alaska. So you'll see some familiar characters, and that just makes it a little bit more fun.
Oh, great. And I love that you're able to, you know, go and use places that you visited or you knew about. I think it's one of the fun things about being a writer is that we're able to kind of use places we know or go places we want to go and introduce readers to a wide variety of locations. So let's talk
yes.
about the underlying positive message of this story. What is it?
Okay, so Keely and Brett, they both struggle with journeying through tough times in the wilderness of life. And knowing God is in every detail of their lives gave them comfort, and they surrendered to him. They were able to put their past behind them, forgive others and themselves, and move forward. And this is all something I believe we can learn from. So, yeah, that's basically just knowing that God is in every detail of our lives just brings comfort.
Isn't that the truth, Darlene? And I love how we can have our characters experience that. And
absolutely.
Right, and show that. I mean, there's truth. There's so much biblical truth in that, and I think that just helps us to have a deeper understanding. Well, we are almost out of time, so let's close with the tagline for Yukon Wilderness Evidence.
Solving a cold case could rob her of her future.
Ooh, I like that. Well, thank you so much for being on my show and sharing about this book.
Thank you so much.
And now Janice Cantori is going to share about one of her latest romantic suspense books, One Final Target. So welcome to my show, Janice.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So we're going to talk about your heroine, and this is one of my favorite questions. If she could have a pet, or maybe she has a pet, what would it be, and what is the pet's name?
It would be a dog, and let's see. I'm trying to remember. I'm sorry, I'm in the middle of working on another book, and in the other book, she finds a stray, and I don't remember. But it would be a dog, and it would be named Bandit.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I like that. That's a cute name for a dog. So let's talk about your hero in One Final Target. What's his favorite snack? What does he grab when he needs that get up and go?
He's a big fan of energy bars. Energy bars that have healthy ingredients and not a lot of sugar.
Ah.
So he finds they give him energy that lasts without activating his sweet tooth.
That's always a good find, I think. And there are mm-hmm. lots of choices out there now.
There are more choices every day. Yeah.
Yeah. Unless I know we wanted to skip the villain because any of the questions that we might have talked about might have given the villain's identity away, and we want to leave that for a surprise. So let's move to the setting. How do you feel like the setting of your story moves it forward?
Well, the setting is actually a place that I lived about, how many years ago now? I moved from there, I guess, It's been 10 years since I lived up in the mountains in Southern California. And the reason it's set there is because I got my idea for the story from a crime that took place there. Actually, the crime that, let me clarify, part of the crime took place there, but most of the crime took place in L.A. County and San Bernardino County. But there was a police pursuit, and the pursuit of the bad guy ended up very near to where my story takes place. And I happened to be on the road when they were involved in the pursuit, and I had to pull over for them to go past. Anyway, and that was what sparked the idea for the whole story to begin with, just the whole idea of this pursuit up the mountains. That particular one ended with the bad guy committing suicide. But it was just so dramatic to be right there at that point in time and then watch it on the news and see the helicopter circling. And so I knew that I wanted to do something with the pursuit up in the mountains. So that was kind of the germination of the story.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, no, it does. I love it when we can take that little bit of reality, whether we experience it, whether we read it, and go, oh, yeah, well, let what if, ... So that's great.
Mm-hmm.
So let's switch to what did you think was the hardest part of writing this book?
For me, the hardest part is always getting the timeline correct. I struggle sometimes because I'm a pantser, so I don't outline. I try to outline. It just never works for me. And so I generally write the story and get going and get going and get going and get to the end and go back to edit. And it's like, wait a second, was there enough time for this to have happened? You know what I mean? Was there enough time for this to happen, or should this be happening a week later? Or that's kind of always the organization always the most difficult part for me. I have a vivid imagination, so I can think of things that should happen or could happen, asking the what if question always. But it's getting that all in my mind. It makes sense, but it needs to make sense in the reader's mind.
So, yeah, those pesky readers. No, we love you, readers. We love you. But yes, I totally understand that, Janice. I mean, as a pantser myself, I run into that. I'm like, okay, did I not? Yeah, mm-hmm. All that double checking and stuff. So we are out of time for this short interview, but what's one thing you want readers to know about One Final Target before we end?
I think it's an exciting book that'll keep them on the edge of their seats, and they'll like the heroine and the hero.
Oh, well, thank you so much for sharing, Janice.
Thank you. So glad to be here.
And now I'm delighted to be talking to F.D. Atkins with her latest book, Never Forget the Truth. So welcome back to my show.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So we're going to start with your heroine. And what did she want to be when she grew up in your book? And did she become that person?
Well, like I said, this is book 3 in the trilogy. And in the beginning, she wanted to be a nurse. Her mother was a nurse, and she had seen growing up her mom how much she had helped people. And so that was her lifelong dream. And when you start out in the trilogy, she's actually going to school to get her nursing degree when her sister disappears. And this is when her path in life changes. She becomes consumed with guilt and just really her life is just revolving around finding her sister. So she switches to criminal justice to try to explore every avenue. And that's how she gets and becomes working for the FBI that you'll see in book 3.
Okay, great. Well, sometimes we do take a little detour. So
yeah,
always fun to see. And I love it that we get to do that to our characters too. So let's talk about
your
hero.
Well, that's how life is, you know.
Yeah, it
sometimes
is how life
I
is. That is so true. So true. So let's talk about your hero and why did you pick his particular name?
Well, that's another funny story because, again, when I started writing book 1, I never intended that it would be published. So the hero in the story is named Steve, which is my husband's name. And that's sort of ironic because if you ever look at my website, you'll see that my husband is my inspiration. As long as we've been married, all the things that I've seen him do, his motivation is that with hard work, you can accomplish anything, and he never gives up until he does something. So it's kind of fitting that the hero in the story is named Steve. So.
Oh, that is so sweet. So, yeah. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen listening to this. Steve is named for her husband. but there's a villain. So let's talk about what your villain, who or what your villain loves the most in this story.
Well, in the beginning, book one, you see a lot of his love and hunger for power. And as you continue through the series, you'll see just how much he truly adores himself. As you'll see photos of himself plastered everywhere throughout the story, and just how little value he has for anyone else, even including his own family, that he just puts himself above everyone and everything, to the point that he would destroy anyone in his path.
Oh, well. That's gonna have some villainous outpouring, I think. danger. So we have to do to our poor hero and heroine to make the story exciting. So let's talk about the story setting. Why did you have this particular setting?
Well, this is a dystopian novel, and most of everything revolves around the corrupt government. So it was important that it be set near Washington, D.C. for at least parts of the book. So most of the setting is Fairfax and Arlington, Virginia. Books one and two were pulled into Cheyenne Mountain Complex just because I thought, ever since I learned about that, I thought that was just the neatest thing, that there could actually be a military complex with 15 buildings inside of a mountain. So that was just my own intrigue that got pulled in. But in book three, you see mostly around Washington, D.C., but the other part of the setting has to remain a surprise. But when you read the book, you will see just why that was chosen and how fitting it is. As far as the time frame, of course, it's dystopian, so it's futuristic. You know, as the government is corrupt and you're looking at, you know, trying to destroy society. But again, you'll have to read book three to see the setting that comes in the end.
Okay, yeah, so there you go. Washington, D.C., a mountain, and a setting to be determined. I mean, you know what it is, but the readers will have to read to find it. I love that.
Yes,
so let's
that's
talk
a
about...
major plot twist.
Okay, yeah, don't want to give that away. Why this particular story? What made you want to write this particular story and never forget the truth? Never forget the truth.
Right. Well, you know, it started, I love to read, but I love action, adventure, suspense, mystery. I like to have an escape into a fast-paced story away from reality, but I want the story to keep moving. I want it to, you know, be action-packed, but at the same time be clean, and I wanted to include a message of faith. So, and Never Forget the Truth, you know, I have a different message in each book of the trilogy, but in Never Forget the Truth, what was really weighing on my heart, it has two messages. One is that, you know, when we identify ourselves as Christians, we are putting Christ, identifying ourselves with him, and that we need to do everything in our power to make sure that we are living according to God's word. And not calling ourselves Christians and doing things that deliberately go against God's word, because we are a witness and people are watching everything that we do. And of course, you know, in the story, you see the main characters have many flaws, and, you know, everybody makes mistakes, else, you know, Jesus wouldn't have had to die on the cross and we wouldn't need forgiveness. But one of the primary messages is making sure that we are doing everything to represent Christ as we call ourselves Christians. And the other part of the message is the sword of the Spirit and being armed for battle, studying God's word every day, because the main character becomes under attack. You know how the enemy is always trying to isolate us and trip us up and just, you know, pretty much try to push us as far to the ground as though we can't accomplish anything. And it's about studying God's word so that we're prepared for that battle. You know, that's an offensive and defensive weapon. Do we know God's word so that we can defend ourselves from Satan's lies? So you see the character as she is going into this battle, you know, and in the third book, she's pregnant, which, you know, she's got the pregnancy hormones going on too, mixed with her obsessive compulsive disorder. And so she's really having a hard time determining and fighting this battle with, you know, what's real and what's not real in her mind.
And this is
just down to having that sword ready to fight and knowing God's word so that we're prepared for that battle.
Oh, that's great. Well, we are almost out of time. Let's close with the tagline to never forget the truth.
Well, the tagline pretty much ties into the message I just gave you, but when the forces of darkness masquerade in the light, is your sword sharpened in truth and wielded to fight?
Oh, I love that. It's almost like a little poem.
Well,
I love that.
And
it's great.
All three books have one of those taglines, so I wanted to keep them all.
Yeah, no, it has a nice cadence to it. Well, thank you so much for sharing on my show about Never Forget the Truth.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.